Like I said, if I could do it without getting killed, I growled. In the meanwhile, unless you want me to chain you into a little black closet in my head, get out of my sight. Her mouth twitched, maybe in irritation, but nothing more than that showed on her face. As you wish, she said, inclining her head. But if black magic truly is once more rising within Chicago, you may well have need of every tool at hand, and as you must survive for me to survive, I have every reason to aid you. A tiny black box, I said, without holes in the lid, smelling like my high school locker room. Her mouth curled again, an expression of wary amusement. As you wish, my host. And she was gone, vanishing back into the undeveloped vaults of my mind, or wherever she went. I shivered, making sure my thoughts were contained, shielded from her perceptions. There was nothing I could do to prevent Lashiel from seeing and hearing everything I did, or from rummaging randomly in my memories, but I had learned that I could at least veil my active thoughts from her. I did so constantly, in order to prevent her from learning too much too quickly. That would only help her reach her goal, that of convincing me to unearth the ancient silver coin buried under my lab and sealed within spells and concrete. Within the coin, the old Roman denarius, one of a collection of 30, dwelt the whole of the fallen angel, Lashiel. If I chose to ally myself with her, it would get me all kinds of strength. The power and knowledge of a fallen angel could turn anyone into a deadly and virtually immortal threat. At the low, low cost of one's soul. Once you signed on with one of the literal Hell's Angels, you weren't the only one in the captain's chair anymore. The more you let them help you, the more you surrendered your will to them. And sooner or later, it's the fallen angel that's calling the shots. I'd grabbed the coin a heartbeat before a friend's toddler could reach down for it, and touching its surface had transferred a portion of the personality, the intellect of Lashiel, into my head. She helped me survive several nasty days the previous autumn, and her assistance had been invaluable, which was the problem. I couldn't allow myself to continue relying on her help, because sooner or later, I'd get used to it. And then, I'd enjoy it. And at some point, digging up that coin in my basement wouldn't seem like such a bad idea. All of which meant that I had to stay on my guard against the fallen angel's suggestions. The price may have been hidden, but it was still there. Lashiel wasn't wrong, though, about how dangerous situations involving true black magic could become. I might well find myself in need of help. I thought about those who had fought beside me before. I thought about my friend Michael, whose kid had been the one about to pick up the coin. I hadn't seen Michael since then. I hadn't called. He'd called me a couple of times, invited me to Thanksgiving dinner a couple of times, asked if I was all right a couple of times. I had turned down his invitations and cut every phone conversation short. Michael didn't know that I'd picked up one of the blackened denarii, taken possession of a token that could arguably make me a member of the Knights of the Blackened Denarius. I'd fought some of the denarians. I'd killed one of them. They were monsters of the worst sort, and Michael was a Knight of the Cross. He was one of three people on the face of the earth who had been chosen to wield a holy sword, an honest-to-goodness holy sword. Each of them with what was supposed to be a nail from the cross, capital C, worked into the blade. Michael fought dark and evil things. He beat them. He saved children and innocents in danger, and he would stand up to the darkest creatures imaginable without blinking, so strong was his faith that the Almighty would give him strength enough to defeat the darkness before him. He had no love for his opposites, the Denarians, power-hungry psychopaths as determined to cause and spread pain and suffering as Michael was to contain them. I never told him about the coin. I didn't want him to know that I was sharing brain space with a demon. I didn't want him to think less of me. Michael had integrity, Most of my adult life, the White Council at large had been sure that I was some kind of monster, just waiting for the right time to morph into its true form and start laying waste to everything around me. But Michael had been firmly on my side since the first time we'd met. His unwavering support had made me feel a whole hell of a lot better about my life. I didn't want him to look at me the way he'd looked at the Denarians we'd fought. So until I got rid of Lashiel's stupid mental sock puppet, I wasn't going to ask him for help. I would handle this on my own. I was fairly sure that my day couldn't get much worse. No sooner had I thought it than there was a horrible crunching sound, and my head snapped back hard against the headrest on the back of the driver's seat. The beetle shuddered and jounced wildly, and I fought to keep it under control. You'd think I would know better by now.